This time, Lenny is going to read a scripture for us.
I encourage you, if you're going through anything right now, anybody here, anybody listening right now, that you read John chapters 15, 16, and 17. I'll read part of it, and it's very, very encouraging. It's when Jesus, before he was going to be crucified, and he talked to his disciples, and he prayed for them, and he prayed for us. And he told them in 16:22, "And you now know, therefore, you have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. In your joy, no man takes away from you. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever all of you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Herebefore you have asked nothing in my name, but ask now, and ye shall receive, and that your joy may be filled. These proverbs have I spoken to you, but the time has come when I will no longer speak to you in proverbs, but I'll show you plainly of the Father. And in that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came forth from the Father, and I have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." And his disciples said to him, "Lo, you speaking now plainly, and you don't speak any proverbs. Now are we sure that you know us all things, and need not that any man should ask thee. But we believe that you come from God." And Jesus answered, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes that you will be scattered, every one to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. That in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son may also glorify thee. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to many as thou hast given him. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have manifested my name unto the men which you have given me out of the world, and they are mine, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept my word. And now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of you. For I have given unto them the words which you gavest me, and they received them, and have surely that I came, that I have come out from you, and they believe that you did send me. So I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me, for they are thine."
Thank you, Lenny. Just remember those words, that Jesus is praying for you because you're one of his. God has given us to him. I want to thank the Lord for hearing your prayers. Leith is here this morning.
Amen.
I want to thank you for praying for Xenia's mother. She's out of the hospital. Went through the surgery. Good. But continue lifting her up in prayer for her mental state and all. I want to thank you for praying for Caleb. You know, broke his wrist. And she sent a picture and it looked like a railroad track. You know, it just didn't look good at all. But they were to reset it, and the problem is he's left-handed, and it was his left hand. But bad things happen to godly people.
Amen.
So what's the difference? The difference is how we handle the situation, because God gives us the grace.
Amen.
Well, there's a storm coming, folks.
Yes, sir.
When I say a storm, I'm not talking about a physical storm. I'm talking about a spiritual storm over the nation of the United States. Okay? One time reminds me and Dave and a friend, Tom Smith, you probably know Tom, we were out, we had taken from his house and went up through Doctor's Lake. He lived down by that fish camp? Whitey's Fish Camp. Lived across from there and had a big old boat and a single motor on it. And we went shrimping, we think it was. I don't know what it was, 6 or 10 years ago? It's been a while. And we went out there. Nice day. Then all of a sudden, like that, without warning, there was a storm upon us. And I think today it could have been a tornado, the way that wind was blowing. And we didn't make it back in time before that thing hit. And we seen those clouds come rolling in, those dark clouds. And it happened like that. Before we could get from where we were shrimping to get under the roadway to try to get away from all of this, we had to anchor out, I think, and he had to keep the engine running in order to keep stable to not crash into the pylons and stuff. And that's how bad it was. And we couldn't make a run for it to the house. It was just too bad. There was a marina there. We'd see parts of boats flying off of those boats parked in the marina going by us. It was tough. But God had protected us there.
Amen.
And Dave was selling the boat that afternoon. Well, he went out to show it to the guy and it wouldn't crank. The motor had blowed up. It just got us home. And that was it, conked out. So had we been out there when that thing hit and that motor quit, we'd probably still been floating. That's exaggeration. But you understand God's providence and his protection.
Yes, sir.
But there is a storm coming, folks. There's a storm coming, folks. And it was the wicked man that developed this separation between church and state.
Yes.
He said, well, that's a good thing. No, it's not a good thing at all. Why not? You know, they were saying, well, we had developed this separation between church and state. And that way, these kings and these hierarchies and these wealthy Christians, they said, oh, that's good. Us church, we'll be here, and you don't bother us, and then we won't bother you. You know? Hey, that sounds great. No, it's not great. Why? Because the wicked man developed this, the separation between church and state, and well, it's like, well, I don't want the church, the king is saying, I don't want the church or the leader of the world they were living in. I don't want the church telling me as the king of this nation what I got to do or what I need to do or what standards we need to put into the nation. I'm the king. I'll rule the nation how I want to. You're the priest. You're the church. You take care of your stuff. I'll take care of mine. Lies after lies after lies. You stick your church and we'll stick to the nation, a leading God. Well, that's not scriptural. That's not what God says. In the Old Testament, every king of Israel had a prophet leading them on how they are to lead the nation. And as long as they listened to the prophet, if it was a true prophet, they would suffice anything that was coming against them and prosper where God was leading.
Amen.
But as soon as they turned away from that, they started getting in trouble. In the Old Testament, every king had this prophet. I want to show you something. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Did you hear that? I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And he's saying, I exhort you, Timothy is saying, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanks, giving thanks made for all men. verse 2. Look at this. Also, for kings and for all of them that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
Amen.
Now, how many of you been bad-mouthing our president? How many of you been bad-mouthing the Congress, the Senate, those in power? Then I would say, how many of you are sinning because of that?
Hello.
Folks, I'm going to step on toes all day today in this message. But not me, but it's God who's giving the message, and I'm going to let His words do the talking and the walking. But you understand, God is saying through Timothy, pray for the kings. Pray for our president. Whether you like him or not, he is our president. God put him in place.
Amen.
So it's you as a Christian, as a child of God's responsibility to pray for that man. To pray for the leadership. Pray for those who have money. What? Yeah, I'm going to show you. So look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. I'll give you time to turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. It says this. Curse not the king. What do you mean? I can't cuss out President Trump? You can, but it's sin.
Amen.
Okay. Curse not the king. No, not in thought. And in other words, not even in your thought. Don't curse the king. Don't curse the president. Don't curse those in powers of leadership. Why? God has put them there. You're cursing that man, you're cursing God. Say, curse not the king. No, not in thought. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. What's it saying? It said, not even in your bed and where you're sleeping, think curses upon the rich man. Don't even think it. Or cursing the king. Don't even think it. Why? Because there's a little bird that may tell the matter. And what is the little bird? Well, it could be in today's time. You got the internet, algorithms,
got
microphones. Everything is spying on you. So what you say today may get to the ears of those you're speaking about tomorrow. And outside of that, all of these airways and stuff like that going through. God hears, okay? God hears. He sees and knows your heart. And He hears. It's inside. He knows. So there's nothing we think or nothing we say that is not heard audible in the ears of God. And He's saying, don't curse the kings. Don't curse the rich man. Yeah, but I ain't got nothing. Well, thank God for nothing that you don't have. In other words, thank God for where you're at today.
Amen.
You have life and you're breathing.
Amen.
Not all men can be rich men.
No.
Some are, some aren't. But it's the blessings of God.
Amen.
And what God has done. So I'm saying that there is a storm brewing over the United States. And as we get into this, you understand why. Right there, that's sin. The people are sinning. How many people in churches do you know that you think are sinning because of these verses here? Many.
Many.
I've been guilty of it myself. Okay, so my feet ain't clean. But after reading, see, when I preach to you, it's also hitting me hard too. Much harder probably than you, because now I know better. And sometimes you read the word, but you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
You read the word and you don't hear. And then sometimes it smacks you right in the face. That's what's going to happen today, okay? Social media, all of this stuff, there's nothing free, folks. When this Facebook came out many, many years ago, and I signed up for it, and then really quick I said, this is nothing but an intelligent gathering site. So I said, I'm out of here. So I don't do Facebook, Twitter, Hopscotch, or whatever may be out there. None of that stuff. My wife does. She does. But I don't. Okay. Proverbs 29:2. Look at that. Proverbs 29:2 tells us that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now, you can say what you want to about the current administration, but I just had a birthday Thursday. I turned 77 years old. Well, thank you very much. But in my 77 years of life, I've never seen an administration try to bring the people back in alignment with God and godly standards. Okay? You may not like him. You may not like what he says. And he said, well, he should keep his mouth shut. God made him that way. Okay? Bless the man. Bless those around him. Bless his enemies. And then stay off the throne of God and be blessed yourself. Donald Trump is not only, you know, you either like him or you dislike him. Doesn't matter. You got to pray for him.
Amen.
All right? This is not about the red state, not about the blue state. This is all about God.
Amen.
And God will use whatever he chooses, whoever he chooses, to wake up the sleeping people.
Amen.
The sleeping people being the church. And the church is going to sleep. It's going to sleep with sinful practices. It's gone to sleep with adultery. It's gone to sleep with sodomy. It's embraced everything out of hell that God says not to do.
Amen.
So there's a storm coming, folks. There is a storm coming. I'm not a prophet. I am a Biblist. But I can look in the Word of God, just like Pastor Bob says, and I can tell you what's going to happen, because it always repeats itself.
Yeah.
It always repeats. And church, there's been shots fired across our bow. That's a Navy term, okay? But it's meaning a wake-up call. America has had many wake-up calls, and she's still getting them, and they're getting louder and louder and louder. Saying, wake up, church. Wake up. He won't tarry forever, folks. He won't tarry forever. He is a loving God, a forgiving God, of over and over and over again. But there comes a time where there will be a reckoning.
That's right.
And the reckoning will happen nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And we know there's storms that are ravaging our nation. But I'm talking about different storms. Different storms. Storms that will come to where you will either answer and say, yes, Lord God, here I am. I need your help because I can't do nothing. I can't access my bank. I can't access my money. I can't get gas. I can't go to the ATM machine. None of that. If that happened today, where would you be? What would you be? The only thing you can do is rely upon God that he would have grace upon you and mercy, send a raven or something to feed you, or a good friend. But for how long? How long? So there's a reckoning coming. There is a storm headed our way. Prayer changes things. But I'm talking about praying, praying, praying. I know we do an hour a month. Hopefully you're doing an hour a day or more. That's where we just collectively get together and pray for the nation. But we should be doing that at least or more every day.
Amen.
I'm serious. It's time to get serious with God. There's some things in the Bible, God speaks to people, like I said, however he wants to, with whatever he wants to, with sinners, with animals. One time he spoke with a donkey, remember? Sometimes he speaks through pagan kings. Are you telling me, Pastor Gene, that he would use a sinful man to talk to his people? Yes. Yes. When his own people will not hear and listen to him. He talked to people through storms, through rain, hail, through prophets, through sinners. He speaks to people through burning bushes. All of this is biblical. In the Bible, you'll find it there. Handwritings on the wall. Whispers in the wind. Even through the cry of a newborn in a manger. You don't have to like the vessel to hear the message, okay?
Amen.
The vessel being the one who brings the message. But you don't have to like the vessel to hear this message. You don't have to agree with the messenger. For God's word is true.
Amen. Yes.
God's word is true. No matter who said it, it's true.
Right.
You don't have to like the president, like the prime minister, whoever. But the word of God, when spoken, that's the point, folks. When Almighty decides to speak, the package that it come in had never been the point. The point is the power behind the words. That's the point. In other words, the package, the person bringing it or how it's presented, that's not the point. The point is the power behind the words. That's the point. And that's the Holy Spirit of God, God Almighty, behind those words. That's the point. No matter who the messenger is. The tragedy in our time is that people are so busy judging the messenger that they miss the message. Did you get that? Okay. I don't like it. I don't like nothing he stands for when he's speaking the word of God and you ain't got sense enough to be quiet and listen. That's what I'm talking about. We dissect personalities. We argue over their tone. I didn't like the tone he said that with. We analyze past mistakes that they've made. And in the process, we let the urgency of heaven's message slip through our fingertips. So we get caught up at who said what. We stop asking. You hear it? You're so caught up with all of this stuff in the world. And you ask yourself, is God saying something to me right now? You can't hear it because you're so eat up with all of the other stuff around you that you fail to listen to the voice of God. That's why spiritual blindness is so dangerous. It makes you reject the very thing that could save you. Spiritual blindness. Did you get that? Makes you reject the very thing that could save you. That spiritual blindness.
Amen.
And the church is full of it.
Amen.
I'd like to think not this church, but for the most part, the church is full of spiritual blindness. In the days of Jonah, God warned Nineveh through that prophet. He didn't want to go there. They didn't want him there. As you know, the story is, he rejected. He was going to go some other place. And they threw him over the board and a big fish got a hold of him, vomiting out there upon the shore, and he had to go anyway. But in the days of Pharaoh, he warned them that through a man that they thought was a powerless foreign slave, a man named Moses who stuttered. You think I'm going to listen to that guy as a Pharaoh? He can't even talk without stuttering. Well, he found out, didn't he?
Hello.
The day that Nebuchadnezzar had these dreams, God used dreams to shake that pagan ruler. Then he sent Daniel to interpret them time and time again. God has shown that he is not bound by the statues of popularity or the reputation of the messenger.
Amen.
So he's not looking for popularity or some guy that's got a lot of money or anything. He will use anyone he chooses, no matter of the statue. In America today, he may be just warning us through the leader that we have. And we know that the leader that we have in today's time, he can divide opinions like nobody else. Some have praised him as Savior. Others have cursed as a destroyer by others. Cursed him, says he's a destroyer of others. But in any case, in the chaos, in the controversy, the ground is shaking between us or beneath us and our feet. And God is saying, church, wake up. Wake up. Many of us have the spiritual radios turned off. Have the spiritual TVs turned off. Have the spiritual headlines turned off. Because you've been so distracted with entertainment that you've missed the warning signals. The spiritual wind is picking up. The clouds are swelling. And just like the storm that me and Dave experienced on Doctor's Lake, we couldn't stop the storm. You can't stop the storm. When God puts it in motion, it's going to happen. So this truth that God has redefined so many times in people. In other words, he's saying, don't do this. Don't do that. Don't mix and mingle with this crowd. They will tear you down. Throughout history, we can see it. Nations after nations have been destroyed because of the sin. Before Israel was taken in captivity, Jeremiah was out in the streets sounding the alarm. He was saying, repent, repent, get realigned with God. And he was crying, the weeping prophet Jeremiah, as people was going by, he's telling them, repent. God always sends a prophet before the destruction comes. He gives the people time to repent. He gives nations time to repent. But there comes a time that they won't, that then judgment has to come. Throughout history, God has sounded the alarm before acting, before the flood came. Noah built an ark for decades. And with each hammer strike was a sermon for his generation. There's coming judgment. Who is this crazy idiot out there in the middle of the desert building a big boat? It ain't ever rained here. Boy, he's crazy. He's crazy. Well, he heard God. He had heard God. God is not in the business of catching people off guard. He always sends a messenger. You're hearing a message this morning. He's sending you a messenger. Okay. Jeremiah was in the street weeping, begging people to turn back to God. Before Nineveh was spared, Jonah walked through the city and with five-word message that shook them to their core. Before Israel had been taken into captivity, Jeremiah out there screaming, please, please turn back to God, turn back. But they didn't listen. They would not listen. Here's the thing. God is using our current administration to shoot out some strong messages, trying to bring the people back to God, trying to establish law and order, trying to make things right. And all the time there's enemies throwing out propaganda, trying to make it look bad. And the enemy never slows up, so we should never slow up with our praying. Because it's the prayer that can change things.
Yes.
It's the prayer. Get serious about your life in the Lord. Many times we see these warnings. You can look at the headlines and it's always bashing what Trump has done. But they'll never tell you the good things that has happened. The media is the enemy, folks.
Amen.
The bad and the ugly. And they have an agenda.
Yes.
And it's not God's agenda. But we can pray asking God to destroy the satanic agenda that is operable within the Senate, the Congress, the presidential office, all of that. and destroy his agenda to set him back for decades. But it takes people with clean hands and a pure heart. You can't be living in a world of sin and have your prayers answered. It just doesn't work. Will not work. Right now, the voice of God is thundering over this nation. Do you have ears to hear? The danger that we are facing right now in America is that we, for the most part, have made God's truth as optional. It's not optional.
No.
To those who want to live how they want to live, regardless of circumstances, it may be optional for them, but they are the ones that are allowing the judgment to come upon the nation. Those that call themselves children of God never darken the door to come to church, never read their Bible, much less pray, unless they're hurting and need help, and they call themselves Christians. I remember a certain scripture says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." God's voice can come in a whisper or it come as a roar, but either way, it demands a response. Sometimes that response is repentance. And you know when you've sinned. You know that little thing, that stumbling block that you wish the world. Here I am, 77 years old, and I'm still having a problem with that sin. Oh, Pastor Dean, are you telling me that you sin? Yes. Is there things that bother me still in my life? Yes.
Amen.
Do I fail God? Yes.
Amen.
But what do I do when I fail God? Just keep going and say, well, that's the way I am.
No.
I get on before my face before God and say, God, I got a problem here. Help me here.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to do this till I die.
Amen.
Help me. Help me get over this. Because if you're truthful with yourself, you have them too.
Oh, yeah.
There's a host of things out there that have shaped you through your life. I can't tell you, I only know what I struggle with. But I do know that God is faithful. I do know that Christ come to the cross and shed his blood so I could be reconciled to holy God. And I do know that Christ died on that cross. He's making intercessions for me every time I do fail, if I go to him.
Amen.
But if I don't go to him, Katie barred the door, it's worth nothing. All my hope is gone. Because I refuse to face my Creator, God, and say, Father, I got a problem here. So don't let yourself grow cold in your spirit to the Word of God. Don't let your ear grow dull to hearing what God has to say through maybe a sinner, through the Word, through a prophetic message, or maybe through our president. Be sensitive. Don't grow dull. God's voice comes as a whisper, comes as a roar, comes in all kinds of ways. But if we're so busy with the little things of life that we don't have time to slow down and listen to God, we will miss them every time. So sometimes it's action that we need to do. Repentance. Sometimes it's action. Then sometimes it's action. Then sometimes it's action.
Yes.
And then sometimes it's action. Get the point?
Yes, sir.
You got to take action. Don't say, well, Lord, I know I got this problem. I'm just going to sit here till you move on me and take care of it. That ain't going to work.
Right.
No, I got this problem. And it's hitting me every day. Well, some days you get over it. Other days you won't. But hopefully you can make that space a little bit longer till finally you say, hey, I don't have a problem there. Good.
Amen.
Bam, there's something else Satan will hit you with. It's a fight. And you're going to be fighting until we die.
That's right.
Till Christ comes. This is ground basic truth, folks.
Amen.
The warnings in America are getting louder. At any moment, you should know, we could go to war with a host of many nations. That's why our president needs your prayers. That's why all the other nations need your prayers. Pray big things. get out of the mode. Lord, I need this. Father, bless me here. And Lord, you know I'm hurting here. Well, so is everybody else. Get over it. Get on. Pray for the nation. Pray for the leadership. And then when problems come individually within our church, then we get together and pray. That's what we do. But in the meantime, be praying for the nation. God knows what you need before you ever ask for it. Sometimes we're selfish in what we're asking for because it's not what God would have us to have. And we know that, but we want it anyway. So many of God's people treat God's warning as background noise. Noise you hear, but it doesn't register. Others are so distracted with life, work, bills, entertainment, politics, that they haven't even stopped to ask, Lord, are you trying to get my attention? Are you trying to get my attention here? And then there are some who hear the warning loud and clear, and they say, well, I know that's what God would have me to do, but I'll deal with that later. There's time. I will deal with it later. Well, what happens if you walk out that door and God says, that's enough, come on home? Then you didn't deal with it, did you? The message is act now, okay? If you know, act now. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, it says, Today, if you hear His voice, that's God's voice, do not harden your hearts, not tomorrow, not next month, not after the Super Bowl, because every time you ignore God's prompting, your heart gets a little bit harder, your ears get a little bit dull of hearing, and the voice of God becomes a little bit easier to tune out. And one day you wake up and realize, I can't hear God at all. Why? Because you've let sin creep in, fill your heart with all of this stuff, and you're never alone with God to hear what God is saying. You're never in the Word. And you sort of desensitize your spirit to the Spirit of God. And now you can't hear God at all. And you've backslid so far that it will take God to come alongside and say, come on, son, let's get you cleaned up, get back with me, and He will do that. But you have to have the willing in the heart to want it. Then there may be others who said, I never heard a message like this before. It scares me. Good. It's time to wake up and be the people of God that He died for. You're His. Like Lenny read, Jesus purchased you.
Amen.
Jesus purchased me. If you've come to Him in repentance and ask Him into your heart. But if you haven't, then you're in a bad place. Because you could die tomorrow and then never enter into the gates of heaven. But go to a place that was designed for angels who had rebelled against God and Satan. A place that the conscience never dies. The feelings don't die. And you're in this place of constant torment. Not for a couple years, but for eternity.
Amen.
Eternity. So there is life after death.
Yes, sir.
Be with the Father in heaven or with your father, the devil, in hell.
That's right.
For eternity. There's no in-betweens.
No.
So the storm is not waiting for your schedule to clear. It's coming. The enemy is not going to give you any extra time to get ready. It's coming. And God's call is not something that you can just pencil in when it's convenient for you. In other words, some other day, some other time. The question is, will you respond with urgency, with repentance, with surrendering your life over to Him? Because the truth is, one day that trumpet will call, that trumpet will sound for the last time. And when it does, the opportunity to prepare will be over. And that trumpet could call for you at any time.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the last trump, but I'm talking about the trumpet of your life. When God calls you, said, come on home. You've disgraced me enough, or come on home because you've glorified me enough.
Hello.
So you may be saying, that's hard, Brother Gene. That's a hard message. It is. It is. But God is saying, church, wake up. Wake up. Quit playing church. Quit playing footsie two shoes with sin. You know, say, whoa, sin. God calls two men living together and having sexual relationships sin. Amen. God calls two women living together and having sexual relationships sin. God calls a man and woman living together, not married, sin. You want me to go on and on and on and on?
Got it.
Sin is deadly.
Yes, sir.
But God is a gracious, loving God. Yes. And we have an advocate that we can go to when we sin. Hopefully we don't, but we do, folks. We do. Some of you may sin before you get out of this church. But that's where you got to do a self-examination. Now, we're fixing to take the Lord's table, okay? Brother Quinn is going to do that. But this is an opportune time to examine your heart. And I will say this. If you've never really asked God to come into your heart, Jesus Christ, today is the day. You heard it. Today is the day. Don't put it off. Don't worry about changing your lifestyle and all of that. Let God worry about that. Just live your life and let God take care of the rest of it. But you can say, how'd I be saved? It's the simplest thing. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? You believe in your heart that He is the Son of God? Seriously, do you?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's step one. Guess what step two is? Ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you of all your past sins.
Amen.
And be Lord and Savior of your life. And confessing with your mouth, Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins. That's it, folks. Don't make something hard about it. That's how easy it is. Because God wants you to be one of His children. He wants Jesus to pray for you because you're one of His kids. So search your heart. I don't have to tell you come down here and confess. No, let the Holy Spirit. Ask yourself this one question, or maybe two questions. If I could be saved, would I be willing to be saved? Don't answer me. Answer that to yourself. If your answer is yes, then that's an indication that you have already been chosen before the foundation of the earth to become one of His elect, one of His children.
Yep.
So don't let that pass. Brother Quinn, come to the Lord's table. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you, because it is through Him, it's the Holy Spirit that draws a man to salvation, not me. The Word of God will convict the heart along with the Holy Spirit. Right, Joe?
Father God, this morning, first of all, I want to thank You for being in a house of God this morning, Father, where truth has been spoken. A great message, Gene. We all need that reminder that we do get upset and we do condemn those, Father God, sometimes, Father, without looking in the mirror and figuring out what I'm doing. So, Father, I just thank You for that message this morning, Father. Father, I want to take the time this morning to say there's sin in your life. Now's the time to get it right before you come up here. And Father, as Gene says, we all sin. So Father, I just ask for forgiveness now, Father God, for anything that I've done, Father God, to grieve Your Spirit. Call it out personally what You've done. He wants to hear you confess your sin to Him, not to me, not out loud. So just take this time now to cleanse our soul, Father God. To cleanse our heart, Father God. Cleanse our mind, our eyes, the things that we've seen and heard, Father God. The things that we have done, Father God. The things we should have done and didn't do. Father God, the message that we didn't pass on to somebody that needed that special touch, Father God, because we're in a hurry or we were mad or just had one of those days where You didn't care. Father, we've all been there. And Father, we know the message You want us to carry. To live a Christ-like light, to act like Christ, to love like Christ, to care like Christ, to have passion like Christ. So, Father, if we haven't done that every minute of every day, Father God, we're sinners, and we're asking forgiveness for that, Father God, now. So, Father, I just thank You for this time, and may we remember, and the purpose of doing this, Father God, it's not to put on a show, Father God, but this is truly the cross of Christ that you died upon, Father God, and your body and your blood, Father, you shed for us. So, Father, I just want to take the time now to say thank you. And it's by your power and your might, Father God, that salvation touched my soul, and I thank you for that. And, Father, what we do today, may we glorify you in all things. Yeah. No man, Father God. May your kingdom be increased, Father God. And for those that Gene talked about, Father God, whether you're here on the radio, salvation's the key. I was living in a pit of hell. Thought I was happy. Disgraceful. And the Lord Jesus Christ put people in my life that prayed for me. Amen. Slowly and surely showed me the life of Jesus Christ and what a miserable wretch I was. And thankfully, salvation found me. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for those people.
Thank you, Lord.
I ask you to come get your cups this morning and return to your seats as we offer this moment to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Come up.
Father God, we just come before you today thanking you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you for going to the cross for each and every one of us.
Amen.
Sacrificing your body so that we may be able to live with you in the kingdom of heaven. So, Father, I just ask you to bless each and every person here today. And I'm asking that if you don't know Jesus Christ, now is the time to come before him and cry out to him.
Amen.
Today's the day. For all eternity, either in heaven or in hell.
Yes.
So, Father, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus to touch each and every heart that's here today, Father God, and those that may be listening on the radio or the internet. Father, just open their hearts to you.
Yes.
Listen to what you have to say to them. And, Father, we thank you for this bread that represents your body, Lord Jesus, that you went to the cross, be nailed to the cross, and taken away our sins. So, Father, I just praise you and I thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for being willing to send your Son to suffer the agony and the scorn and all that he suffered on our behalf so that we may spend eternity with you, Lord.
Amen.
And I thank you for each drop of the blood that was shed when he was beaten and when he was nailed to that cross and when that spear entered his side. You have cleansed us from all our sins. So I ask you to take this today, Lord, and be glorified as we do this in remembrance of you for what you shed on that cross, which is your precious blood. And we thank you in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes it's good to have our toes stepped on to remind us, you know, to get back on track. Friend, glad to have you here. Make yourself at home anytime you want to come, okay?
Yes.
Gary, Carol, thank you for being here. Enjoyed that song, Gary.
Yes.
It's good to hear them old gospel songs like that. Would you stand with me? Father, I ask you to bless these people as they leave now. Father God, watch over them. Keep them safe in all that they say, all that they do, wherever they may go. Father, bless them in their spirit, their soul, their minds, and their bodies. Give them ever increasing knowledge and understanding of your word and wisdom, Lord, to discern the times in this nation. Lord, as we watch, as everything unfolds, Father, may we ever be closer and closer to you.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you, give you all the praise and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.